Welcome to the Strive for Strength podcast. I'm your host, Kendall Strample. I'm an online wealth and business coach for huge visionary coaches just like you. I help coaches compartmentalize their massive ideas and turn them into a step-by-step action plan. After scaling 2 7-figure companies in the coaching space, I want to help you collapse time and give you the steps that you need in these short episodes to help you execute on your massive vision. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. I am so excited because I have an OG in the industry on the podcast episode today. And in this episode, we dive into how she took the leap going from a network marketing company into her own fitness business. And then shortly after, in fact, pretty much right as she became a fitness coach, she also became in really high demand to become a macro coach for other fitness coaches. So she took a lot of big leaps in a short amount of time. She now runs the macro mentorship, and she also has her own online health and fitness coaching company that she has scaled with a team, and she has helped thousands of students in her mentorship program as well as in her fitness business. So guys, today I have Eve Guzman on the podcast episode. Eve, welcome to the podcast. Let us know who you are and just tell us a little bit about you.
Hey, you guys, my name is Eve Guzman. I think I was formerly known as Eve Fit Chick, so I've changed my handle. I was mostly known like just for nutrition and fitness and working out, and also losing half my body weight, 150 pounds. But I run a coaching academy where we do help women multi over the age of 35, transform their bodies, mindset, all of that stuff. But I'm also a business coach for fitness coaches, as the founder and creator of a macronutrition coaching certification.
Amazing. So Eve, you started back in 2014, right? So what got your foot in the door with the fitness side of things? Because I know you had an amazing transformation yourself. Was that kind of like the catalyst for you getting started in the fitness space?
Sort of. So I was like on my own journey and trying to lose like my last 20 pounds to get to the half my size point, to lose half my weight. It had been my goal for about 10 years. I was close to almost 300 pounds, but I was literally hustling Herbalife shakes. A lot of people don't like to admit, if they started with an MLM and go back to like the beginning of their Instagram account and they delete all of that shit, all that shit's still on my page. So if you have the time to scroll back 9 years, it's there. But that's how I got started in fitness coaching. I'm actually a research scientist by education and trade. I've worked in clinical pathology, immunochemistry, genetic toxicology, pharmacokinetics, and drug metabolism. And I was just looking for a protein shake. And I drank the juice, literally. I drank the juice, and they, 30 days in, they were like, "Oh, you're so great. You're so this and that. Do you want to be a health coach?" And I'm like, "I'm not selling shit." And then I thought about it for 2 weeks, and I was like, maybe I'll make some side money. Because you know what they do. They're like, shout out to all the like MLM people. It got me started, so I'm not hating. I say it all with love, and I'm still friends with lots of those people. But I was like, well, maybe I'll like hustle the shakes on the side so my protein shakes would be free. So I was thinking maybe I would end up breaking even, and I'm like, I'll just see if my friends who are always asking, how do I lose weight? You know, what protein shake am I drinking? I loved how they tasted. They were great. The community was really, really fun. And I was like, why not? So I started like trying to like show myself with like the shake selfie and do all of that. But that's how I got started. Was I was trying to lose my last 20 pounds, and I looked for a protein shake. And someone cold DM'd me about like, "Hey, you look like you're fit and blah, blah, blah. Like, I can help you lose the last 20. And I fell for it. And I joined. I drank the juice.
Okay. But so that was obviously a big part of like the evolution of what got you in the space. Can you say like, was there one main takeaway you had from working in an MLM first that you still carry to this day, or like something that you learned that forward trajectory into your fitness business?
Oh my gosh. I would probably say the biggest thing is like to help people and have fun while doing it. Like, yeah, if you're not having fun doing this, you're going to feel like you're working a job. Like, I love what I do. You know, we still help everyday women that want to lose weight. I also coach a lot of fitness coaches, but like, if I'm not having fun, there's no way I would want to wake up and do this every day, especially on the days where I used to make $0. I would go 2-3 weeks and not make even $50. Like, I like was just grinding. But if your heart is really into helping people, and you find a way to make it fun. Like, that's the biggest thing they taught me, was that having fun.
I want to circle back around to that, but before we do, because I know that you are balancing two businesses right now. You have your health coaching business, and then you have also the macro mentorship, which I want to dive into. Like, it's a lot, obviously, having two, I'm sure. I'm curious for you is, like, what got you from going from the MLM to then fitness coaching and starting your own business to now having the macro mentorship? So kind of looking at that pivot from the MLM to your fitness business, what made you take the leap to do your own thing?
So while being in an MLM, although it was like fun, it was like energy and let's do this and like let's meet up, you know, every quarter and do these trips and all of this and all these like Zoom workshops for community, they were also pushing nutrition in a way that I did not believe in. You know, like I said, my background is in science. And I knew the theory behind how I lost weight. It was mostly calories in, calories out, whether the deficit was from exercise, the deficit from nutrition, and then eventually, you know, me tracking macros and kind of elevating from calorie counting to macro tracking. I had women going to me or saying to me, oh, I can't re-up my shakes this week. I'm not going to lose weight next week. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they were like, if I don't have the shakes, I'm not going to lose weight. And so I realized there were like two things happening. They were using the shakes as a crutch, and they didn't have the education, the tools, and I wasn't guiding them because I'm following the strict rules of like how my like team leader was telling me to like promote nutrition and how to coach women, cookie cutter guys, you know, all that jazz. They thought they had to have the shakes because they didn't know what to eat without it. They weren't learning like how to prepare meals and how to do like a portion plate, let alone track the calories, track the macros. And then the other women really thought that the shakes were a weight loss product. Like they were like literally injected with something that was a fat burner. Fat burners were like super popular now. They still are like, we'll still have some clients that apply to work with us. And I'm like, oh, fat burner on the application. Like, people still buy this shit? But I was like, you know what? They don't even know how to lose weight. And so with the integrity that I have being someone that has lost weight without using those products, and they were just a supplement, you know, a great tasting way to be consistent with my protein and all of that, I was like, I got to teach people how to really lose weight. And so then I started kind of on the side creating a separate product of like macro coaching. I started one-time macro counts before they ever existed. I think I went back and I screenshotted it. I think my first one-time macro count was 2015. Wow. So this was like back when people thought macros were like a fad diet. Some people still think that. They're like, oh, that's a new diet. I'm like, no, it's science. Yeah. But whatever. And I was like, I have like a responsibility to teach women how to actually lose weight, like the science of weight loss, how to get away from a supplement, how to get away from a meal plan, how to think for themselves, have the habits, and actually change how they were eating. And so I started creating my own programs 2015, 2016. My group was kind of like, what are you doing? Are you doing macros on the side? And then my audience was confused. Do I buy the shakes or do I buy the macros? And then people would buy shakes and go, can I get the macros for free? And I'm like, no. It was so confusing. You know how it is. We have way too many offers that are similar, no one's buying shit.
Right.
And so I had to differentiate what they were, and I had to basically say bye to the MLM. So I left the MLM. I kept, you know, using the products because I like them. I still have a membership. It's 2023. I order the tea for my mom. Side note, it's not like a fat loss tea. It's just like an herbal tea. It says like thermogenic, but every tea has caffeine.
Right.
But like I broke away and created my own thing. So I started like one-on-one coaching, one-time macro counts, group coaching. And I basically just niched down into macros and became, or I attempted to become like the go-to person for macros. When I was in the MLM, I grew a pretty sizable team. I was coaching my team. And then I had coaches going, I want to lead too. Can you teach me how to do macros? So the transition became with like one-time Zoom calls, 45 minutes, teaching people on my team how to do it, which was much, it was so powerful because they were more engaged creating their own thing than following the cookie cutter program of an MLM. And then I had coaches that were following me in the industry that had been in group coaching programs that I didn't lead, but I was a part of. Like, my peers were like in my DMs, like, Eve, I heard you're like the queen of macros. Can you teach me macros? I'll pay you whatever for a call. I didn't know for what to charge. I was like, all right, $50. Let's get on the call.
$50. So, oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. Don't you wish? I wish my business manager would
charge. Right. Right.
And so it kind of escalated from there to me doing like packages back in 2018 of like 2 calls per month. We'll get on a call. You share your screen. Let me see your client check-ins. Let me see what you're doing with your clients, providing feedback, providing structure. And then I was saving notes on everything that I was doing. People kept finding out. They were like, can you mentor me? And I'm like, this is getting way too big. And then I was really torn with myself of like, should I be telling all these coaches like how to do what I'm doing? Should I give away the secret sauce? And I'm like, no one else is doing it. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to create a group coaching program and teach coaches how to become experts at macro coaching, how to build their business, you know, all the framework. And that's literally how I went from Herbalife shakes to macro coaching to then mentoring coaches.
I'm so glad that you took it upon yourself and you didn't gatekeep the information, because you know that there were going to be coaches that were going to do it anyway, even if they didn't get the education, which that's a whole, I could do a whole 5 podcast episode series on that aspect of the coaching space. But I want to go back to you leaving the MLM again, because that obviously took a lot of discernment and it took a lot of, I'm guessing, just value-based decisions for you to go with what you actually believe in. And I'm sure that was probably a little bit terrifying. Like, you had some secure income coming in. You had, I mean, almost, I guess it's kind of like a family or like people that you've been consistently leaning into. So can you talk a little bit about what that leap looked like and making that decision for essentially yourself, but also, I guess, the industry too? Like, what actually opted you to doing that? And what did that feel like for you? How'd you move through those feelings?
Oh my God, it was hard as fuck.
Like, I bet.
I'm a grown ass woman and I was a grown ass woman then. And I just felt like I was cheating. I was like, I'm like being naughty. I'm like flirting with like other stuff. And people on the team were like, what if your upline finds out? What if your upline's upline? I was getting DMs and emails from upline of like, I heard you're thinking about leaving and like, what can we get you to do to stay? And it's not like a real job. You can't give me a promotion to make what I make. And then the more of the pool became of like me realizing how valuable I was being someone that lost an extreme amount of weight. Cause then I was also looking like the poster child. And I'm like, I didn't even lose weight using these fucking products. Like,
yeah.
I lost weight with a science-based, you know, approach. And I was like, I could be making way more money. Like, I'm making $40 off of a small shake package. And I'm hearing about coaches, and this was way back then, making $100 per client. And then clients resigning and staying. And then I'm like hearing about other people. High ticket coaching back then was like $500. I was like, oh my God, $500?
Right. Yeah.
What? You know, I got to sell like 25 shakes to make $25. And it was hard. I was like, are they watching me? Are they stalking my pages? But like, I mean, I looked at all the education I had. I was like, I cannot hustle shakes for life. Like, it wasn't turning over to make the kind of money that I could even walk away from. And I felt like I was on somebody else's payroll.
Mm.
And so I just did it. And people were like, I wish I could do it. It felt like abuse. People that stayed, it was like a toxic relationship. They're like, I want to, and I hate this structure. We have to say this and we have to say that. And it's not that the corporation said that, but it was like the whole team, you got to say this. The team lead would be like, we've got to say it like this. We are doing a guts and butts challenge. We're doing like whatever. It was all kind of bullshit. And every month it was like a new challenge. And I'm like, that's not even nutrition periodization. Who the fuck is doing a deficit all year round? Like all of these diets. I mean, you see it. Coaches, they have a new challenge like concept every other month. And I'm like, a cleanse. And then a detox, and then we're plant-based, and and I'm like, what the fuck? And so I just left, and I really didn't give a shit. I mean, it was hard at first, but once they saw me excelling, and I was getting those DMs from friends going, I'm so glad you left, you look so happy, I was like, this was the right decision.
It's so, I love that you also were able to almost make like a multi-business out of it immediately, because you had people requesting like, hey, teach me how to do the macro side of it. But then I'm sure you also had people coming in, like you're giving the actual macro consultations too. And I'm sure that was, I mean, how did that feel for you going right into macro mentorship? I know you obviously had a lot of education, but was there any imposter syndrome? Did you feel that when you were first stepping into coaching other coaches?
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. So when you were saying earlier, like making this thing before somebody else makes it, I have like two business besties that have been backing me up since the very first like business mastermind that I was in 2017, that I was like Voxer messaging and we still message. And I was like, I got this idea. I was literally driving to one of my affiliates because I was a competitor back then. I was an athlete for a company and I was driving out to kind of see the back end of their like production of like their gut health products and stuff. And I was like Voxering them and driving to Ohio. And I was like, I have this idea. What if I stop doing this one-off coaching and I make a program? And then I told them this whole elaborate thing of what macro mentorship would be, and it didn't have a name. And they're like, oh my God, that's so great. That's so awesome. And then when I realized how awesome they thought it was, I said, fuck it, I can't do it. And they're like, what?
Oh my gosh.
What is wrong with you? And I'm like, but then everybody's going to find out like who I am and what I do. Like, what if people discover me? And I was like, there's a lot of people that create programs like this that don't look like me. They don't sound like me. They don't have the background that I've come from. And like all of the adversity that I have faced to actually get here, you know, breaking generational poverty, just so much shit. And I was like, I don't want people to discover me. And they were like, that makes no sense. I'm like, I'm afraid to create this thing that I typically, and like, I'll keep it all the way transparent, that a lot of white guys are making, and not women of color. Mm-hmm. Just like so much shit that I've seen being in like pharmaceutical research management over the years, when people would even ask me, where's the supervisor, where's the manager? I'm like, you're looking at her? Like, it me, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
And I was like, why can't a woman do this? Or yeah. Like, why does something have to be yeah. a certain way? But all that shit weighed heavy on me. But I also felt like if I didn't get it out in the next 3 months, somebody was going to beat me to it.
Mm.
And so I created it. I would definitely say it was a little premature, but if you wait till it's perfect, you waited too long. And I created the first iteration of it in late 2018. And now we've certified over 1,000 coaches and growing across the world.
That's insane. That's amazing. And it's so needed inside of our space too. And I love that you also took the time to let it evolve. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is like taking the messy action initially is the thing that's going to help you with developing the framework. And did you find, because this is, I literally just made an episode about this the other day, about how starting with one-to-one or starting with a more intimate start to the coaching program allows you to develop a framework. Do you feel like that alone was the thing that helped you develop the framework for the macro mentorship and the program that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Even in my like business coaching with coaches that I have, I do recommend one-on-one first. I'm very open in helping coaches like explore where they need to start. Some coaches start with the memberships, some start with the group, but with one-on-one, you get more intimate feedback and question asking of like, coach, what is this? How do I do this? How do I do that? And so that really helped it. You know, it helped me set up the framework. And then the first group of having people actually be together, then that started to speed up the process because I was able to help more people at once. But to be all the way honest, macro mentorship almost didn't happen. 48 hours before we started, we had one person enrolled. That was
really
it. And really? I was crushed. I told my business coach, like, all the things that I made up in my head. I'm a fraud. I'm an imposter. I'm not smart enough. I'm not liked enough. And most of it was like a marketing issue because I was half scared. I was half-assing the marketing when I launched it. And she was like, let's pivot. Let's create like another option, like a way for people to join if they're unsure because you're new at this. And then in the last, I think, 12 hours, I got 7 people signed up. So my first group, and I know people tell you, they go, I only got it's like, I only lost 5 pounds. Yeah. I only got 2 applications. I'm like, well, those are like people that you would not have helped. Yeah. But I had 8 people. And I mean, that's how it started.
Yeah. I always say to people, I'm like, imagine telling the people if they're standing in front of you, like, I only got 8 of you in here, like how that would feel for those people. Like, you go all in for those 8 people, and that's how you develop the framework moving forward. It makes the program so much better. So I know that you mentioned the marketing piece for you was like a little bit difficult and you guys pivoted, which I'm so glad you leaned into mentorship, because that makes everything, I feel like, 10 times easier when you have that person who believes in you and is like, no, this shit is fire. Like, you need to get it out to more people. What has it been like for you balancing? Because I have both my fitness coaching company and then also business coaching too. And I know for myself, it's always been, I don't see even like a balance, but like really figuring out when you're promoting for the fitness side and then obviously for the macro mentorship. How's that evolution been for you? Because you've pretty much had that since like almost day one of doing macro coaching, right? Where you started the macro mentorship really early on. How's that balance been for you? What's that look like?
In the beginning, it felt like a hot mess. Yeah. Everybody told me what they saw looked good. Some of them believe them until this day, unless they come out of the woodwork. But like, it felt like, oh my God, or if I talk about business now, are all of my nutrition and fitness followers going to like be like, what is this shit? And then leave. And so I actually was working with a coach who was the only coach in the industry that I knew of that was doing both. And we're still really good friends to this day, but she was someone that had a nutrition coaching business and she was, you know, mentoring fitness coaches. And I like saw her balancing both. And I'm like, I'm hiring her because she has already paved the way for like, you know, how it can actually work out. And so I had to trust in the fact that my people were going to leave after 6 weeks of like my, you know, launch runway to talk about business stuff. But I also tried to do it in a way when I talk about business, they learn more about me. And so my nutrition people were like, oh my God, I didn't know that you did this. I didn't know why you became a coach, because you wanted to be at home when your son got off of the bus every day or pick him up and be able to go to, you know, all of his field trips as a chaperone. So they were learning more about me because I do a lot of storytelling in my business, coaching, marketing. And so they became really seamless. And then eventually I broke away and created a separate page just for that program once there was enough interest. So on my main page, I talk about both, but I make sure that people are getting over to the page of the program, which has grown really successfully and sometimes has more engagement than my other page. I mean, to be, you know, completely honest about it. But I would literally just go through seasons of 2-3 months nutrition fitness coaching and then 1.5 months of business stuff. Then I would switch my coaching stuff back to nutrition and fitness, and I kind of would toggle like that. But my main feed would have a lot of like posts about business coaching when I'm marketing, but I would make sure my stories and everyday stuff. And I learned how to do kind of a split messaging. So if I was to do something like I've got this cup for my last trip to Belize with coffee in it. And if let's say I'm going to show like a photo of it, I would find a way on my stories to talk about what's in my cup. How do I track it? You know, whatever. But also talk about like this mug came from this amazing trip to Belize where I didn't open my laptop for 1 day. It completely took over. And everywhere I go somewhere magical like that, I try to bring something back so I can see it in my everyday life and then kind of remember like how grateful I am. So I do a lot of dual messaging when I'm launching. So both people are kind of getting a piece of everything.
It's so amazing how when you know the ideal client you work with, how easy it is to just tell a story or speak to like you mentioned, just having a cup in front of you, like how easy it can be to just identify that. Have you found that it's elevated, or I guess not even elevated, but kind of changed the ideal client you work with on the coaching side of things, the fitness coaching side of things, since, you know, you do have the macro mentorship? Do you see yourself coaching a lot of other coaches? What does that look like?
Yeah, with macro mentorship, I was actually kind of shocked when I ran the numbers a couple years ago. I think 8-10% of our coaches were previous clients that had no interest ever in being a nutrition and fitness coach, kind of like me.
Yeah.
I became a nutrition and fitness coach to get my shakes for free, to be honest, right. Like I said, but also because people were like, help me, help me. You've lost so much weight, like your inspiration, help me. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to help people. Like the money really didn't matter then because I had a full-time job.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to make it like a full-time thing. But like, I mean, it's just been incredible because a lot of those people came from nutrition and fitness coaching.
Yeah.
And macro mentorship became my main offer. I was doing one-on-one business coaching. And then once macro mentorship got going and we built a team, we've got several coaches now. It was kind of like, I can't do everything as a CEO because my sole role as a CEO is really focusing on like inbounding clients and making sure that we're getting new leads, potential clients, our email list is growing so that we can sustain the business that we have and then also push past it, but also make sure that operations are running well, whether it comes down to like the client facing ops, the back end business ops. And I'm like, I can't have my hands in all shit.
Yeah.
I can't do one-on-one business coaching and then make a whole bunch of like mini courses and then 4-month mentorship people and one-on-one coaching and one-time macro counts. We have a fitness app. I mean, I can't do all that shit.
Yeah.
And so I had to really go, what are going to be my major offers? Like what are going to be the things that I'm going to like double and triple down on? So macro mentorship for the most part is the only way to work with me. I do some one-on-one business coaching, but I am like super selective about it. Because to be honest, like at all times, we have several hundred clients at a time.
It's amazing.
And I want to make sure I know all the coaches going through my program. Like I get these DMs and they're like, hey, I was in like your January cohort. I'm like, I know who the fuck you are. Everybody is that comes in.
That's awesome.
So it's like my main business coaching offer. And then we do have like an accelerated version of it. But I mean, that's where I do most of my business coaching because I love the community and macro mentorship has grown into such a special container.
I love that you double down and triple down on things because I feel like so many entrepreneurs, and I'm sure you probably see this in the space and a lot of coaches, want to be doing everything all at once right away. And I don't know if you had that phase in your business. I definitely have had that phase in my own two companies as well. What have you noticed about stepping more into like the visionary CEO role and what has helped you the most? Like, were there key players on your team that you hired, specific marketing strategies? What was like the biggest support in you stepping more into the roles that help you move the needle forward?
I almost think mentorship with an outside coach was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because I've had coaches have to tell me, I know you love helping people, but you need to stop taking one-on-one clients. Mm-hmm. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You're the CEO of the company. Why are you taking more clients? Like, I have not taken a new nutrition and fitness one-on-one client in, I would say it's almost going to be 3 years, and I still have.
You still have some? Yeah.
One has been with me like 4 years. She'll probably find this podcast and listen, and she always DMs me, and she goes, don't give away my spot. Don't you ever give away my
spot. You're stuck with me. Yeah.
It might even be 5 years almost now. She's been with me so long, I don't even remember, because I've coached her through 2 pre-pregnancies, pregnancies, postpartums. I mean, I've like watched her kids, you know, like starting to grow up.
Yeah.
It was probably mentorship to tell me, I know you want to help people. You are such a giver, but you have to make sure your business is solid and that your vision is actually happening, and you cannot have your hands in every single thing. So I would probably say business mentorship was one, and then probably hiring like my first virtual assistant to make sure that I am not doing the things that are, and this is not even to be mean, if people know me, like I keep it real, but they're outside of your pay grade if you are a CEO and you can't be doing every single level of everything. And so I had to have discernment on like, what should I be doing? What should I not be doing? And can I actually give this job to somebody else that would love to have this income, who would love to be a team player? But it doesn't need to be me doing every damn thing in the business.
How did it feel letting some of those tasks go? Because I know that's really difficult from like just like a coaching standpoint, a leadership standpoint. How did that feel for you?
It was really hard in the beginning. because I made the excuse of, well, then I have to train the person. Mm-hmm. I don't have time as it is, but now I got to train them to do the things that I need help with that I already don't have time. And I really just had to like shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
If you guys are wondering, is this how much I cuss in real life?
Yes.
Well, I cuss more than this in real life, but I had to like shut the fuck up and sit down and like look at like, I don't need to be doing this. This is someone else's expertise. So it was humbling, and then it made me also learn how to be a supervisor, a manager, a CEO again, you know, because I had been out of that role. But like, your people on your team are only going to be as good as you direct them. So if they're falling short, most of the time it's not their problem. Did you effectively communicate what you needed? So I had to learn to be patient. I had to learn to just go, it's going to take time for us to get better as a unit. And that, you know, the communication and feedback that I give is important. So I can't be holding my breath on the things that I need so that we can be better together.
Yeah. Have there been like any key factors in leadership just like over the recent months as you've been, or I guess years as you've been scaling, that you can say have been really helpful with you leading a multi-person team now? Because I know the problems just get bigger as you step into CEO-ship. It's like you used to think like someone like ghosting you was a problem, and then you're like dealing with team stuff and you're like, this is a problem. This is actually a problem. So what's been like the supportive thing for you that's maybe helped with that?
Do you mean technical, or like, do you mean like an actual role that we have?
Ooh, let's go like one of each. What's like maybe something you do that helps support the team staying on their shit? And then like, maybe do you have like an operational thing that you use, like a project delegation board, something like that?
So we have team meetings every month, and our team, I'll be all the way honest, they are so fucking awesome. We don't need more than one meeting a month.
Yeah.
I came from a position where I would have 3 to 6 meetings a day, every day. We would have a meeting to have a meeting to have a meeting. And it was like a waste of fucking time. Like, we shouldn't be spending so much time on things that are keeping us from actually helping people. And because I hire people who are very autonomous, they're independent, I trust them. I trust them to do the work like me, but their personality is completely opposite of me. That has been really key in us having a solid team. So we only have a team meeting once a month, and we use Voxer to communicate for everything else.
Wow.
It's really on me of communicating and making sure they know the vision, where we're going. But again, because we're not having 5,000 different types of new programs start, everything is rinse and repeat, so they always know what to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do a lot of meetings. Like, we have one meeting a month, and then I meet with my head coaches once a month. I meet with my online business manager at least twice a month, if not weekly. I mean, I just hire good people. I hire very slow and take my time and just get the right people in there. Like, I've been very lucky. We haven't had anybody on our team that I'm like, damn, that was a fuck up. You know, we haven't had that.
Yeah.
Systems, we use ClickUp for all our project management, all our communication. We use it to like do a lot of automations that we set up from Zapier. But like, we have a board for everything, a list for everything. We use it for everything. Content management for our podcast, all of our social media pages, all of our launches, our client onboarding, offboarding, our memberships. I mean, you name it, we connect everything to ClickUp. As our way to systematize like everything that we're doing.
Yeah, that part is so important. I find like so many, and I don't know if you get this through business coaching or you just see it in the space, but so many newer entrepreneurs resisting the structural piece. And it's like, when you want to have bigger problems, like building a 7 or multi 7-figure business, you're going to have all these structural things that you need to address. I don't know. Have you seen that where like people resist the structural piece that, yeah, like, I don't know if you've seen that in mentorship or what, but I'm just noticing a lot of like newer entrepreneurs coming into the space. It's like the structural piece is the thing that gives you back more freedom. It gives you back more time. So you could do things like go to Belize or, you know, go have fun or have more fun with your team. What have you found through like having structure? How has that helped you in the scalability factor, like or even just like in your life, like, do you find that you have more time to go do fun things like with your team? How's that helped you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's probably given me back 30% of my time because I can find things for one. I can rinse and repeat launches. Like create a whole launch board where we're like planning 4 months out or whatever it is for the launch. We duplicate it, rebuild it, and like all of that stuff is already there. It's really clear on the communication aspect. We're getting people onboarded properly. We're not missing as many payments. We're making sure that people are offboarded properly and not just like hanging out for free and like you're losing money in that sense. But like even just like just organization, everybody's like, I want to use a notebook. I want to use a Google Doc. And I'm like, a CEO doesn't do that. I think the resistance comes from the idea of being uncomfortable and being a beginner again at something else.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a six-figure or a seven-figure business, whatever the goal may be that's appropriate for you, I mean, you really have to like put on your big girl panties if you want a big girl business.
Yeah.
And if you end up hiring people to help you, I'm gonna like damn sure tell you, they're going to be using ClickUp or Asana or Monday or whatever the other platforms are to get you organized, because for them in their zone of genius, they help people scale, and it's not going to be happening on your like favorite notebook with like butterflies and glitter and shit.
Yeah.
It's going to happen with a system where everybody can see everything at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
I was consistent in it first. Like the first thing I tried was Trello, then Asana, and then I for 2 years, hired an amazing online business manager, and she was like, I love ClickUp, I can do way more with it. And I was like, and then I was like, fuck it. Like, that's your zone of genius. And so you may end up having to hire someone anyway. So why not figure out how to use something like that now? Because eventually, if you want to grow, someone else is going to be using that stuff in your business anyway.
Yeah, for my chaotic visionaries listening, like, please go back, rewind, listen to that like 47 times, because like I work with so many visionaries who just want to do more all the time. And it's a matter of just like, how do you optimize everything you're already doing and then sell more of it and make a bigger impact and not let any holes or things slip through the cracks. And it's so easy to just add shit to your plate consistently when it's like, go do the thing that you started optimally before you move to the next thing, you know? And I think that's like a big thing I'm seeing in the industry. And I wanted to get your thoughts, Eve, because I know you've been in this space for a long time. I started my Instagram in 2012, but I was like a peanut. I was like 12 years old, 14 years old at the time. So, you know, you've obviously like been really aware and you've seen so much of the shifts and the trends change over the last, I think, few years especially. But what is like maybe one or two of the bigger things that you've seen shift in the coaching space recently, just from your perspective?
Do you mean from the content or expectations?
I feel like I need a laundry list. I feel like I need a whole 5 podcasts for this one. Just like the biggest one that sticks out for you. Like, I think expectations is a good one to go off of, and maybe one from the content side.
I would say expectations. Oh my gosh. So expectations. People have too high of an expectation of posting one post and that they're going to get all these clients, and thinking if they post 3 times a week for a month that they're going to be having their first 10K month, or that one post they get 20 applications. Like, people make, online business look so easy. It's simple, but it's hard. Because, like, we all know what to do. You almost don't have to hire a business coach to start. You know, if you're watching fitness coaches, you should. This is like, you know, this is what we do. This is what Kendall and I do.
Yeah.
Like, we are business coaches, so eventually hire one. But, like, if you follow enough, like, fitness influencers, whatever, you can see the trends. You can see what people are doing. Yeah. You know when people are pitching. You know when a pitch is coming.
Right.
Like, you can follow people, see the clues to success. And then, you know, see what's happening. But a lot of people come in brand new and think, oh, I'm going to do those things and I'm going to be making 10K.
Tomorrow.
And yet they're like, oh my gosh, no one applied. The post went up 3 hours ago. I'm like, building a business online is like building muscle. Like, it takes years to build muscle. You guys probably follow people where you see like their 2021 photo, their 2023. Like, I know that you do this. You've showed like how much like your body has changed and how much muscle you've put on since like when you started. But it's the same thing. Like you're building a muscle, you're building strength, and people don't understand how much consistency it takes to make money. Yeah. I left the MLM and I was doing business by myself, no Herbalife, you know, supplementation money. It was 2017. I was barely making $1,000 a month, like barely. And I was doing everything, or so I thought.
Yeah.
And my expectations were so high. From 2017 to now, the expectations are so higher, are so much higher. And I'm going to tell you guys, like, we are so fucking spoiled. We have so much at our fingertips. We have so much available to us. But people have such high expectations and think because everybody's making money, I deserve to make money. And you probably do deserve it in some capacity. But, like, how long have you been working at it? And can you actually give yourself enough patience to be patient to actually receive it? It's definitely harder to make money online than when I first started, I think. Because, you know, there's so many things out there now and people are making an educated decision. But people have to figure out why they want to choose you amongst like the market of these other people. And one post going up is like really not going to be the thing that makes it happen. I mean, we're spoiled. Like we think we should get everything immediately, like Amazon Prime. people are spoiled. If you're in my program and you're listening, if you're in Kendall's program, you're listening, like it does take time.
Yeah.
Like it took me going through business mentorship to start making money.
Yeah.
And then after that, it really became exponential. But I didn't hire a coach until I went, okay, I've been doing this for a while and I'm not making any money. Like I'm not making any money anymore, not like I should. And that's when things turned over. Content wise, I have a lot to say about this. I could do a whole podcast. I sat and thought about this when I was traveling for a conference this weekend because I'm getting ready to change up all of my shit. So I set it on here so now I have to actually do it.
Yeah, you're accountable now.
Yeah, I see too much copy. I think, and I don't mean like plagiarism because that's happening too.
Sure.
But I think everybody's sounding the same. There are seasons where I see this happening and it's happening again. I would say probably since like December of last year, I'm so bored looking at content.
Yeah.
I'm like so bored. Everybody's content is looking the same and people are spending too much time putting out what they think their ideal client wants to see, but it's looking exactly like their peers and they're writing content in a way that they're trying to impress their peers because they're worried about what their peers are saying and not really being authentic as they think they say they are when they're saying I'm being authentic. They're not.
Right. It's like a mask almost. I feel like there's this, I've felt this recently, I don't know if you can relate, but almost like a mass desensitization of like the social space, you know, and then it's like people saying about their engagement and it's like, go back to your vision, like go back to storytelling. No one else is telling your story the way that you tell it. You know, no one else knows it the way that you know it. So I'm excited to see what's coming for your brand and what changes you'll be making. Yeah. Now you're accountable. So you guys heard it here. Make a reel out of this part specifically and hold you new content.
They need accountability.
Yeah.
I'm in a space where I'm like, damn, I gotta change. Because I fall in that trap too. I start to look back at my content. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing the same shit. I'm seeing the same shit and my brain becomes so cloudy and unclear and I don't even think about it. I'm like a robot and I'm sounding like other people.
Yeah.
So I'm changing my shit.
I'm curious, what does that process look like for you? Like, are you spending more time away from the computer to think about what you want to create? Are you like doing anything specific to support you with that? What does that look like?
I unfollowed a whole bunch of people.
I feel that. I feel that.
And then y'all are listening, do it in batches. Do not unfollow more than 40 people in a day or your account will get locked. I have had that happen to me several times. I've unfollowed like 200 people in a day and lost my account because they thought I was like, you know, fucking around with bots or something. So take time when you delete. So my goal is to be following 500 people or under. So I've got about 300 people to delete. But like following what's not serving me, unfollowing what's not serving, unfollowing people that I feel triggered by, that I'm like, mm-hmm. is my stuff as good as them? Ooh. Am I sounding like them?
That's good.
Anything where I'm like hesitant about myself because of somebody else's content, I unfollow them. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? I have friends that I've unfollowed during certain periods and they know it. And I've told them, I'm like, I just need my head to be clear.
Yeah.
Like, our stuff is kind of similar sometimes. I'm like, I need my head to be, you know, be clear. Another thing that I'm really good at is I post my shit and I get off of Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for the likes. I don't even look till the next day most of the time. Sometimes I'll go 24 hours and I'll go, oh, okay, that posted okay. Nice. All right, keep going.
Yeah.
Like, I post my shit and I stop looking.
Yeah.
And get off and I stop comparing. But now I don't look at how a post went unless I was super nervous about it. Like, maybe if it's like body revealing or if I like, I don't know, rare. Maybe like this year, 5 times I was like right after looking.
Yeah.
5 posts. Yeah. Like 9,000 posts I've done today.
Yeah.
I post.
Or if it's like something you're excited about, you know, it's like, I feel like we as an industry need to get excited again about posting on social media and looking at it as like it's such a vehicle. I think like some of us forget we're like complaining about engagement or like someone didn't comment. It's like, you literally have the world at your fingertips. Like, learn how to hold space for all the shit that comes with that. Because like, it's such an opportunity to be able to do that every single day. And I think so many people, like you said, Eve, like they just get stuck in their head from seeing everybody else posting specific things or these talking head reels. And everyone feels like they have to be posting that right now just to get their point across. It's like, go have a conversation walking down the street with somebody, you know? And like, so much, I think that human connection piece too, which I'm sure it's probably nice for you, like having your mentorship students and like seeing them mingle with each other and like being in that community. I think that's another piece of mentorship that's so key, is like, get in a group of people that do the same shit as you and that you can bounce ideas off of or are conscious and like can actually have a conversation with you about worldly things that aren't just like fitness related too, you know? So you get so stuck in this bubble of like, this is fitness at the end of the day. So yeah, I love that perspective. Cool, Eve. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing all of your knowledge and perspective. And if you want to let everybody know, I'll put the link for your mentorship or any cool links that you want to leave down below, but let everyone know where they can find you.
Sure. You guys can find me at Eve Guzman Official. Somebody else has my name. I didn't get like the cool. It's only my name. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram every day, but you guys can find me at Eve Guzman Official. But our page for our macronutrition coaching certification, which is a 4-month cohort, you can find us at Macro Mentorship. And I'm on there on that page probably just as much. Stories, posts, everything. So it's not one of those pages where it's like, oh, she's only on there when they're not. I'm on there every day. But I'm very, you know, conscious of my time. But I get on, I get off, but I'm on Instagram every day. I'm not even gonna lie.
Hell
every
yeah.
day.
Hell yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's fun.